Thank you, ladies. Amen. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you today. Such a blessing to be able to be here with you this morning. I certainly enjoyed Vacation Bible School. Brother Merrick, thank you so much for the invitation to be here. And Brother Mason, Brother Tim, you guys did an excellent job with Vacation Bible School. It was a really fun time. And a lot of folks did a lot of things, and that is always such a blessing. And my dear wife is back in New Jersey. My oldest son, Buzz, and his wife, Joy, celebrating their 20th wedding anniversary. I've got a kid that's been married 20 years. I can't even imagine that. And they're actually up in Nova Scotia this weekend. I know you guys support the Burbridges and the home church that they're out of. We know Brother Coe and his wife, Rachel. We've known Rachel ever since she was just a runt kid, and they're actually up there in Nova Scotia this weekend, spending a little bit of time away for their anniversary. So my wife is watching grandbabies. It's tough. I know, it's just tough. And now this is the household that has like the dozen chickens and the six ducks and the three crazy dogs and the rabbit and the bird, and it's a full-time job when you house sit for Buzz and Joy. But Joyce is there with them this week and enjoying every bit of it. But I wish she could be here with us. It was back in December, I think, the last time we were here. And that was such a wonderful, enjoyable time. But it's so good to be back here for Vacation Bible School. I'm going to talk a little bit more about VBS tonight and a little bit about the Big Blue Box and things like that this evening. Today, I want to preach. And so I'll try not to mess the microphone up, guys. And, well, I was messing up big time the other day. I have a love-hate relationship with the sound guys at our church. I love to see how much they hate what I do. And I mess those guys up all the time. And so apologies ahead of time. And so if you would please take your Bibles and join me in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 18 this morning. I'm going to read the first three verses of Numbers 18. And tonight, Lord willing, I'm going to be talking all during VBS this past week. The theme was with the messages was about sowing and reaping. And so I'm going to talk a little bit more about that this evening. I'll be preaching, Lord willing, about some things about sowing and reaping tonight. But here in Numbers chapter 13, we're going to focus on a particular subject, and you'll see it as we read in here. But Numbers chapter 18, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Aaron, Thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. And thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined with thee and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness, and they shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die." Well, this morning, my goal is to talk about keeping the charge. And so let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get with the message this morning. Father, I do want to thank you, Lord. It is such a blessing to be able to be here, here at Calvary Baptist Church. And Father, it's been such a wonderful and enjoyable week of Vacation Bible School. But Lord, it's your day, the Lord's day, that has been set apart for the preaching and teaching of your word. And so, Father, I pray that you would bless. I pray, Father, that your word would have its effect in our lives. Loss would be brought under conviction and Father, respond to your word in repentance and faith. That your children that are here today, Father, would be encouraged in the work that you have given each one of us to do. Now bless and direct, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We are going to talk about keeping the charge, and that is a great theme if you have the opportunity. So most of us have some resources that you can look up different themes in the Bible. There's so many great technical things available nowadays. Boy, when I was young, we'd have to pull the books out and look in concordances and old dusty books. And nowadays with computers, you just and get all kinds of information at your fingertips. But the charge is a great theme that runs throughout the Old Testament. And if you have the opportunity, certainly I'm just going to touch on a little portion of that this morning. But if you have the opportunity, it's a wonderful theme to trace throughout the scriptures. It's an encouragement as far as particularly for God's people in the service of the Lord. And so I'm just one of those things I'll encourage you about. But when we talk about keeping the charge, I want to start, you know, off by just kind of giving a little bit of a definition. A charge is a responsibility. It's what it comes down to. Now think about it this way, okay? Maybe if you've ever gone camping, if you have a family and you go camping, it gets a little more complicated. Everybody's got a, yeah. I mean, there's so much to do. I mean, when I was younger, my parents loved camping, and so we camped a lot. We had a pickup camper. We'd travel across country. We tented a lot. We had a pop-up camper for a while. Never did the RV thing. I mean, the big RV stuff. That's glamping, right? So we went camping. And so when you went camping, there's always, you got to pack this stuff up. And you know, you're always needing to make sure you have everything necessary to travel in. And so, you know, having that responsibility of making sure that everything's together. I mean, I suppose it could all fall on one person, like mom. But you know, just think about it this way. Maybe you've got a few kids, and you decide we're going to go camping. And so you say to the oldest one, make sure you're responsible for the tents. Make sure the tent's there. You know, the folding chairs nowadays. Oh, I tell you, what a great invention. I don't know who came up with that. Man, and there they are, you know. And now they have the canopies, and there they are, you know. And so you got one kid, you say you're responsible for this. And then you got this other kid, you say, you know, you're responsible for all the, you know, like the camp stove and all the little peripheral things like that. And you got another kid, you got to make sure you got all the, things like food. That'd be good to have when you're going camping, you know. So you kind of divvy out the responsibility, and everybody's got to play their part. And you know, when it comes to a charge, you have to think about the fact of responsibility. You know, there's a difference between being responsible and thinking that you're in charge. Okay. Again, now, I use a lot of illustration that have to do with kids because you know I've had four kids and. I got grandkids, and there are like a plethora of sermon illustrations, you know. But, yeah, I mean, think about the difference between having a responsibility and thinking you're in charge. So if you're a parent, if you've ever had children that you kind of, you know, they start growing up a little bit, and you actually start being able to go out on dates, you know, with your spouse again, and you say to the oldest one, you know, just keep an eye on things until we get back, you know. And so, you know, that oldest one may have that mentality like, I'm in charge. They got to do what I say. You know, they say to their siblings, mom and dad may be in charge and you got to do this. And yeah, they're sitting back going, oh man, here we go. And so, you know, I guess being in charge can really, can really get a hold of a person to think that it's all about them. And they're it, you know. And everybody's got to listen to them, and I can do anything I want. And honestly, being in charge does not make you the person who is calling all the shots and making all the rules. And you're not the one who ultimately is defining, you know, what's going on here. Mom and dad give the kids, say, take care of their siblings. So who's really in charge? The charge is a responsibility that we have to give an account to someone else. Being the charge to keep that we're going to talk about this morning has to do with accountability. It has to do with responsibility. It has to do with an understanding of the expectations. Because the older sibling, although they are the older sibling, they are still accountable to mom and dad, because mom and dad eventually come home and make sure their house, first of all, has not been burnt down. But, have you carried out the responsibilities that you're supposed to do? My wife is there with our grandkids, watching them while Buzz and Joy are off there on their anniversary. And although my wife, she is keeping an eye on things, especially our older grandkids, they have things to do. My grandson, Dave, they're his ducks, by the way. And so he has duck duty this week. That's his charge to keep. Make sure the ducks takes care of them. They're watered, they're fed, the eggs are picked up. Anybody love the duck eggs? They're different, okay? If you've never eaten a duck egg, find somebody who's got ducks. Get a duck egg, okay? The girls are in charge of the chickens. They take good care of them. They're very good. The dogs, they're just a mess, But so when Buzz and Joy get home, there's an expectation that everything is going to be taken care of. They have a charge to keep, okay? So when we're talking about a charge to keep, we're talking about he's talking to Aaron and his descendants, his family, and say, listen, keep the charge of the tabernacle. So this is what we're going to talk about tonight. This morning. It has to do with responsibility. It has to do with accountability. It has to do with giving an account, okay, accountability. But it has to do with carrying out an obligation that someone has delivered unto you, and you're not the boss. You're simply carrying out what has been delivered to you, okay? So are we all on the same page with this? We're talking about charge to keep, okay? So when we talk about this charge, and particularly with Aaron, this is, the tabernacle. They're in the wilderness. If you know where you're at in the book of Numbers here, they're making their progress through the wilderness. They've already, Kadesh Barnea has happened prior to that, and so they've already kind of blew it in that sense. God was going to take them into the promised land. That did not happen. And so now they're moving on. They're wandering through the wilderness. This is going to come to an end eventually. So there's a lot of responsibility that's going on here. They're concerned about some things. There's been some ups and downs. And so there's a lot of concern, but there's also a lot of responsibility. The charge that you're going to find mentioned in the scriptures often is related either to an individual or to a location. For instance, you'll often find that word charge, the charge of the Lord. In other words, who are we responsible to? To God, the charge of the Lord. We'll also see terms like the charge of the tabernacle. And so it's linked to a location. And so the responsibility is carried out in a particular place. And so you'll see terms like that throughout the scriptures. But when we talk about the charge itself, it's a very diverse charge. We're talking about camping. That's a very diverse thing, right? And there's a lot of different things that go into it. Take your Bibles. You're here in Numbers. And just go back with me to the beginning of the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 3 in particular. And I want to talk, we're going to see some things here. And we're going to talk about the diversity of this responsibility. Numbers chapter 3. And I'm going to start at the beginning, but we're certainly not going to read this whole chapter. But Numbers chapter 3. These also are the generations of Aaron and Moses in the days that the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai. These are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab, his firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron. And it's going to go through. It's going to be talking about some the generations and things like that. But I want you to take particular note here. Look at verse number 6. Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto me, and they shall keep. Please notice, keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do service for the tabernacle. So here's the idea. We're talking about this charge that we're over there in the, of course, where we're at in the book of Numbers chapter 18. And so he's introducing the responsibilities. And I want you to notice some particular things because it is diverse. Look at verse number, we're dropping all the way down to verse number 17. And these were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershom, Kohath, and Merari, that's a name that does not flow off the tongue very well. So we got Gershom, we got Kohath, and we got Merari. These are the names of the sons of Gershom. Verse number 18, it mentions in particular. But please notice there's these different responsibilities that are going to be delivered to these men. So for instance, Gershom, let me see, of the tribe of Gershom, verse number 21, and his family, and talking about their names, they're numbered there, the families of Gershom. And please notice where we at here. I'm trying to get all my names here correct. So we got Gershom that's mentioned. And the family of the Gershomites, verse number 23, shall pitch behind the tabernacle. The chief of the house of the fathers of Gershom shall be, and the names are mentioned here. Verse number 25, and the charge of the sons of Gershom in the tabernacle of the congregation shall be the tabernacle and the tent, and the coverings thereof, and the hangings of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so we got these fellas, if we're going camping, they're the ones that are carrying the tent around. They're the ones who pack up the awnings. They're the ones who carry those things. It's important, but they don't do everything. I want you to drop down with me, if you would please, to verse number 27. And Kohath and his family, the Amorite, and Kohath was the family of the Amorites, and the family of, and all the names are mentioned there, if you would please, and I'm not going to butcher names this morning, you can butcher them yourself. And the verse number 29, the families of the sons of Kohath shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle. These fellows here, verse number 31, and their charge shall be the ark and the table and the candlesticks and the altar and the vessels of the sanctuary wherein the minister and the hangings of all the service thereof. So here you go. You have this one group of fellows, and that is the sons of Gershom and their descendants. They're going to be carrying around the stuff, the curtains and all those things. If you're going camping, they're carrying the tent, they're carrying the awnings, they're carrying, you know, different things that are going to be needed in the campsite. And then you have this next group of folks, sons of Kohath, they get the big job, right? They get to carry all the furniture. So they're the ones with the chairs, they're the ones with, camp stove, they're the one, you know, they're doing all this stuff. They got the big jobs. And then you have Merari. And Merari, if you notice, you just go down a little bit further, and you'll see they're mentioned in particular, verse number 33, in their family. It talks about them and what they have responsibility for. And I'm dropping down a little bit. Verse number 36, and under the custom, the charge of Merari shall be the boards of the tabernacle and the bars thereof and the pillars thereof and the sockets thereof and the vessels thereof and all that serveth thereof, and the pillars of the court shall be round about the sockets and their pins and their cords. And it gets real detailed. Okay, so Gershom and his family, they're carrying the tent, but Merari, they're carrying the tent poles and the stakes, you get the point? All right. So let's go camping then, okay? So you get home, you tell the kids, we're going camping. You all got your jobs. Get your stuff together. Pack up the minivan, because off we go. And the kids are running all over the place because they've done this before, you know, and you get everything all packed up. You drive halfway across wherever, and it's time. You open up the back of the minivan. Nowadays, you just push button. When I was younger, no. You just push the button, you know, and you're pulling all the stuff out, and you're getting all the things out, and you get the poles out and get the tent out, and you're putting everything up, and you're like, where's the stakes? And I was like, oh man, that's right. I forgot. Can you imagine? And you think, what are we going to do now? You know, just kind of like tie it around a rock or something. I guess you could, but you know, every part of that's important, isn't it? whether you got the tent or the tent stakes or the tent poles, you got the chairs, you forget the stove, so you got nothing to cook on. Maybe you forgot the food, who knows? Every part of that's it. Think about the tabernacle in the wilderness. The Ark of the Covenant. I mean, we think the Ark of the Covenant is the most important thing. And I granted it is, okay? And you know, Gershom and Kohath and all those guys that are families that are all carrying this great stuff. But think about the fact that Merari, if he messed up with his stuff, couldn't put the tent up because you got the stakes or the poles. So you couldn't put the tent up, so you can't put the Ark of the Covenant in it. And if you can't put the Ark of the Covenant in it, you could not carry out the sacrifices that were necessary for the children of Israel to defer God's judgment. And all because somebody forgot a tent stake? Well, the reality of it is, yes, that's exactly what it's like. Because everybody's job is just as important, whether you're carrying the Ark of the Covenant or whether you're carrying a tent stake. It is still the charge of the Lord. Every last one of them had a responsibility that they were given charge for, and every one of them was going to be accountable to God for that, and every one of them was just as important as the other job because they were all a responsibility that was delivered by God to them to carry out a responsibility in order to fulfill the charge of the tabernacle as a whole. And so everything is, as you can see here in this, and again, this is a very large chapter, and I understand that. There's a lot of detail involved in it. But the reality of it is a charge that is given by God. It is very specific, and yet is so very diverse that it covered the responsibility was spread out among so many people. But every one of them had a job to do, had a part to play. And I want to remind you that this charge of God has been delivered unto us. That we all have a part to play in the work of the ministry. I want to direct your attention to 1 Kings chapter 2. And because we're talking about the charge of the Lord. And 1 Kings chapter 2 is a reminder that this charge was even more than just for the priests. Okay? Because, you know, in particular, it says that, you know, the charge of the tabernacle, and it's talking about Gershom and Kohath and Merari. But please notice here in 1 Kings chapter 2, and this is the end of David's life, and Solomon's going to be king. Now the days of David drew nigh, this is verse number 1 of chapter 2, 1 Kings, that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And, please notice, keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, whithersoever thou turnest thyself. And we see again this particular statement in reference to the charge of the Lord, because everyone has a responsibility to play in reference to carrying out God's charge. And here in particular, we're talking about the king of Israel. And so whether it's the guy with the tent stakes or whether it's the guy that's holding the scepter, it is still the charge of the Lord. And please notice also as we read this particular portion of scripture when it's speaking about, this is David, of course, and Solomon, and it's talking about this responsibility, the charge, and how much of that responsibility centers around the Word of God, centers around a desire of knowing the Word of God, of instilling the Word of God in our lives, of committing ourselves to the Scriptures, of following the Word of God, all these things. You cannot separate the charge of the Lord from the Word of the Lord. Because this is where we get our responsibility. It would be like a parent that is going out and giving, you know, the kids the response, you know, I'm going to be gone for a few days, and then writing out everything on the whiteboard, right? You need to do this and need to do this and need to do this. And everything that goes on in that household that week is going to center around the fulfillment of that responsibility, right? And God has given us His Word. And he says, I have not only given you my word, but I've also given you some things I want you to do until I get back. And it would be improper for us to think that we can alter it. It's like we look at it and say, I don't like that one. I have a whiteboard, right? Change some things. And that's not how it works. David understood that. Certainly not a perfect man, but he understood that. He made sure that his son Solomon understood that. If you want to keep the charge of the Lord, you have to walk in his ways. You have to keep his statutes. Those two are eternally connected. And it still applies to us today. So we understand that there is a diversity of responsibilities, right? We understand that everyone can play a part and should play a part in carrying out the responsibility of the charge of the Lord. And we also understand that there is a tremendous connection between the Word of God and keeping the charge of the Lord. So all these things are given before us here in the Scriptures, but it's a responsibility that carries well past simply the tabernacle in the Old Testament or even the nation of Israel amongst, you know, with King David and King Solomon. But the same principle and same teaching extends to us today, that we have been given a charge delivered to us as a body of believers, as a church delivered to you, but also even as individual Christians. God has delivered unto us the Word of God and His commandments. He has given us responsibilities. He has poured His, if you're a child of God, He poured His Holy Spirit in you and entrusted it with you, gifts and abilities. And each one of those has the opportunity of fulfilling a responsibility. He has called some of you fellows to the work of the ministry and has placed inside of you a charge that you need to keep, that is so vital and so necessary in this world that we live in. Certainly it has been that way ever since the beginning. The preaching of the Word of God is a tremendous responsibility. But whether you're a pastor or whether you're working I don't mean to make this sound bad like it's some kind of extreme, but you're working down in the nursery. Oh, I'm sure glad of nursery workers. My daughter-in-law, Rachel, is in charge of our nursery back at home, and unsung heroes in the nursery. And we always advertise, of course, we have nursery provided for all services. And I'm glad that we do that because some people, they enjoy coming to church and sitting here in the Word of God being preached, and they know their kids are being taken care of, whether it be in the nursery or whether it be in junior church or whether it be in a Sunday school class. And there are so many people that do so many things so that the Word of God can be preached. And I'm glad for that because a lot of people keep the charge. And because they keep the charge, the work of the tabernacle, the work of the temple, the work of God's house is able to be performed. If you would please, Genesis chapter 26. We're talking about responsibility. We're talking about keeping the charge. This particular reference, of course, in keeping the charge goes way back. We're in Genesis chapter 26, all right? So we are preceding the law, we're preceding the tabernacle, we're preceding the kingdom of Israel. We are talking about men like Abraham and Isaac. In Genesis chapter 26, I'm in chapter 36, so that's not going to work. Excuse me one second, I'll get to where I need to be. There we go, Genesis chapter 26. Verse number 4 and 5. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. Now this is God speaking to Isaac, okay? And what he says to Isaac is something very similar that he had said to his father Abraham. But this is God reiterating the promise and the covenant. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So he's repeating that covenant that he made with Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. And he's just repeating that to Isaac, his son. Now, please notice verse number 5. And it says this. Why is he able to repeat that covenant? Why is this blessing being extended? Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Let that sink in for just a moment. And just be reminded of the fact that your obedience to carry out the responsibilities that God has delivered to you have not only the blessings in your life, but have a ripple effect in generations to come. If you keep God's charge, it will have an impact on your children and on your children's children. So wouldn't it be true also that the reverse to that could take place? If you do not carry out the responsibilities that God has delivered unto you, think about the impact that that would have. We have a charge to keep. And certainly we do that because we have a sense of responsibility towards God. God said, this is what I want you to do. And we're going to be obedient to God and we're going to serve Him. But please understand, this illustration that's found in the scriptures for us, God is speaking to Isaac. He said, I'm going to bless you. And the reason I'm going to bless you is because Abraham, your father, did exactly what I told him to do, and he followed my charge. Now I'm going to bless you. Think about that when you look in the eyes of your kids. Because God is going to deal with them someday. I am certainly not perfect. I am not even close. But I would hope that God would be dealing with my kids and saying, listen, I'm going to bless you because your dad did what I asked him to do. Amen. Oh my, that is overwhelming. I got 15 grandkids now. And same thing is going to happen with them. God's going to deal with them based on some of what my kids are doing. And what my kids have done is going to be impacted by what I did as far as my obedience to God. What a great sense of responsibility has been thrust upon each one of us to simply do what God has called us to do, to be obedient, to keep the charge of the Lord. Now, I don't know what that charge is for you. Certainly some of you get to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and others are carrying the tent stakes. And if somebody doesn't fulfill their responsibility, the whole thing is just really monkeyed up. And not only does it impact us, but it impacts the next generation. Keep the charge of the Lord. For yourself and for your children and for your children's children. I would ask you please to join me back in the book of Numbers, and we are all over the place today, but I really appreciate you following with me. But Numbers chapter 1, again, I said this is one of those themes that runs through many places in the scriptures. It's well worth your time and investment to look at so much of what the Bible says about keeping God's charge. But verse number 52, towards the end of that chapter, this is Numbers chapter 1, verse number 52, and the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp and every man by his own standard. Now, again, lots of details in the book of Numbers, so you know, I guess you get lost in a lot of the detail-oriented type of things. But you know, when we're talking about the charge of God, you know, God is very detailed-oriented. And so when he gives you things to do, he gets really specific sometimes.
Verse number 53, the Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of the testimony that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of testimony. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. So this whole chapter, of course, chapter one here is, again, lots of details. Who pitches their tents where? You know, you just think about that going camping, and the guys say, oh, yeah, just pitch your tent anywhere, you know. And sometimes, we used to do a lot of camping. We pitched our tents in many weird places. I remember one time we were going camping. We pitched our tent somewhere, and it rained that night. And we just happened to pitch it where the water kind of flowed out of this particular area. It was like a river that ran right through the middle of the tent, man. So be careful where you pitch your tent. There's a sermon in there somewhere. But the Levites, they had a responsibility to pitch their tents. They were kind of like a barrier around the tabernacle. And particularly, I mean, the high priest, they're going to be east, right in front of the tabernacle. But the Levites had this responsibility, as it said, to pitch their tents round about the tabernacle, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. I found that to be an extremely intriguing statement. And then it says, and so they can carry out the charge. Now, of course, the tabernacle. The brazen altar where the sacrifices remained. The laver was there. There was a curtain that went into the holy place. Table of showbread was there. The candlestick was there. There was an altar of incense. There was the next veil was right there. Inside of that was the Holy of Holies, or the Ark of the Covenant sat. The Ark of the Covenant, of course, had the Ten Commandments in it, and on top of that was the mercy seat, you know, had the angels with their wings outstretched. The mercy seat was a covering for the Ark of the Covenant where the law was at, and that's, of course, annually the blood on the Day of Atonement was sprinkled on the mercy seat, atoning for the sins of Israel. It was never a complete forgiveness that would come, of course, in the future, but it was a deferment of God's judgment. God's people, that he's making reference to, of course, the children of Israel, and they, although they were God's people, they still deserve God's wrath. Because we're all sinners. Part of the responsibility of the priesthood was this constant, their work was a constant deferment of God's judgment because of sin. Now, ultimately, it would be fulfilled when Jesus Christ died once and for all. But until then, their responsibility kind of withheld God's judgment. You know, where we started reading at in Numbers chapter 18, when you get to the end of chapter 17, the folks are of the nation of Israel, they're really concerned because this whole thing with Korah just happened, and the Aaron's rod that budded, that just happened. They've been challenging God's authority all this time, and now they're to the point where they're thinking, I mean, where there's no hope for us, God's going to kill us. And that's when chapter 18 starts, when they're saying, hey, I still got these guys who are carrying out my charge so that you don't die. That's nice. Okay? I mean, if you go camping and somebody forgets to do something, generally you're not really concerned about dying, okay? I suppose. But you know, when it comes to the souls of men, it gets real serious then. So these chapters in Numbers 17, Numbers 18, there's a lot of concern about God's judgment. And God, right at the beginning of the book of Numbers, God's letting those folks, the Levites, these guys that he's talking about, you know, with the pitching of the tent and all these charges to keep, they have this responsibility of standing in the gap so that God's wrath is not poured out. Now let that kind of run, take that ball and run with it a little bit, okay? Because, you know, certainly God is a God of love, but he is also a holy God. He will judge sin. And he would be just and justified to pour out his wrath on this earth at any time. It's the reality of it. And God's wrath will be poured out someday. It certainly will be. But yet he's left us here to pitch roundabout and stand in a gap in order to withhold his wrath and his judgment on this earth. We plead for the souls of men. We preach the word of God. We intercede for those that are lost. You know, God's law, the Ten Commandments, was in that Holy of Holies, right, in the Ark of the Covenant. On top of it was the mercy seat, and the blood was sprinkled. Those Ten Commandments were that is sufficient evidence against every man, woman, and child that has ever lived and will ever live on the face of this planet for God to pour out his wrath and judgment and damnation upon this world. Sufficient evidence found right there. And yet God puts his cover on it, the mercy seat. The term propitiation is used in the New Testament on several occasions, and that is a direct statement and connection with the mercy seat and with the work of Jesus Christ. And so that's not part of the sermon today, but you can have fun with that one. Please look that up and see how God is satisfied by the work of what Jesus Christ has done. But our response, the priest's responsibility was to carry out this task so that God's wrath would not be poured out on the people. And isn't that so true for us today? Haven't we been delivered a responsibility and a task and a charge to keep? And this world is without that. They're outside of that. And they deserve the wrath of God. And we, it's as if we're camped around this tabernacle, fulfilling the charge that God has delivered unto us so that God's wrath is not poured out on this world. And what happens when we don't do our job? What happens when we don't fulfill our responsibility? And so we have a charge to keep. And that charge, of course, has to do with not only just fulfilling, you know, the work that we're given here at the church, yes, certainly, but the impact of that extends to this lost world. The deficiency that often occurs even amongst God's people to fulfill the task or the charge is often felt not only in the church house, but it's also felt in the lives of those that are without Christ, because you have now impacted them because you have not kept the charge of the Lord. You know, when the charge is not kept, it does have an impact. You're familiar, of course, with turn with me to let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel 6. And you're familiar with the story of Uzzah, right? The Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the Philistines. It had been returned. It had been, kept in a different location. David really had a burden in his heart to get the Ark of the Covenant back to a secure location, certainly, but an honorable location. And so they're setting up a tabernacle for it. The temple's not built yet. They're going to set up a tabernacle for it in Jerusalem. I mean, great idea. And you're familiar with the story. And it's in it's in 2 Samuel 6, but it's also recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. And so we see David getting this ark. You know how it plays through, right? And they build a new cart. You see that. as it's mentioned here, verse number 3, and they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. Uzzah was there, and Ahio, the son of the sons of Abinadab, they drove the new cart. You're familiar with that, right? They're driving the cart. Somebody was joking around the other day because we were moving the big blue box from over there to over there. It was on the cart, you know. Somebody was joking around about glad they didn't put their hand on the big blue box, you know, keep it from falling or something, you know. But it is a good picture of that, okay? The Ark of the Covenant starts teetering a little bit, and Uzzah puts his hand out to stop it from falling, and boom. He dies right there on the spot. You're talking about putting the fear of God in somebody. That did it, right? And, you know, of course, that's mentioned in verse number 7, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Of course, what a sad event that was. The Ark of the Covenant that's taken and put aside, and then again, they're going to get to this place where they're going to move the Ark of the Covenant, and, you know, God, of course, God's going to bless again, but the next time they brought the Ark of the Covenant, they didn't put it on a cart. Verse number 12, and it was told to King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the Ark of God." So David went, brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom, that's the other O guy, unto the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, they sank. You catch what's going on? Bearing the ark of the covenant, of course, had these little rings on the corners where the staves went through, and funk, you know. I got a question. Where in the world were the sons of Kohath when they were building the new cart? Now, I know King David was the guy that says, "Hey, let's do this." And I'm sure it looked nice. But where were the sons of Kohath when all that was going on? These are the guys that have been responsible, the sons of Kohath. They're the descendants of Kohath, right? They were, we just read it, Numbers chapter 3, right? Sons of Kohath, you have the responsibility to do this and this and this. You're the ones who get to carry the Ark of the Covenant, all the furniture. They have been doing this for generations. And now David's got this great idea. I know, King David, right? He's got this great idea. And nobody said anything? David, excuse me one second. You know, the Bible says, and yet nobody said a word. And there was a dire consequence as a result of it. And yeah, I know, just one man, right? Just Uzzah. He was, you know, great illustration now. We get to preach. But a man died. Because, and we think you could blame it on David. David, he sure felt bad about it. He weighed heavy on him. But where were the sons of Kohath that they didn't say, "Hey, we have a charge to keep, and that's our job. That's not the way we do it. That's not what God said. That's not what's in the Word of God. It needs to be done this way. If we don't do it God's way, there's going to be a consequence." David, great idea, but not godly idea. We've got to do it God's way. And, boy, that would have saved that man's life. Where are the sons of Kohath today? Where are the ones that God has given a charge to? And things are being done not according to God's word. Things are just being neglected. Things are being pushed to the side. The word of God is being neglected. Scriptures are being violated. And nobody says a word? Where are the sons of Kohath today? There is a charge to keep This world deserves the wrath of God, but Jesus Christ has fulfilled all of God's requirements as far as the payment of sin. The Levites, of course, did the charge of the tabernacle, but it was never finished, never completed, always deferred. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, his sacrifice was sufficient to pay the sins of all the world. One sacrifice for sins forever. Done. So that charge that the Levites had is being completed. They're out of a job, right? But we have a big charge to keep now. Because our responsibility is to take that message of hope to a lost world. And every one of us has a part to play in that. And if we refuse to do our part, there is a consequence for that. Certainly it is going to be felt amongst us as a people if we refuse to carry out God's charge. Certainly it's going to have an impact on your children and your children's children. But you know the most dreadful impact it's going to have is on those that are without Christ. Because God's wrath will be poured out. And if we're not in place, if we're not standing in the gap, if we're not pleading for souls, if we're not getting the Word of God out, if we're not preaching, you say, well, that's not my job, right? Well, it may not be your job to be a preacher. But I'm just saying, there's somebody who's got to carry the tent stakes and there's somebody who carries the Ark of the Covenant. And if the guy that carries the tent stakes does not show up, then the tent doesn't get set up, the Ark of the Covenant does not get set, and the Levites cannot fulfill their responsibility of sacrificing and sprinkling of blood. And simply because somebody left the tent stakes at home. Everybody has a job to play. Everybody has a responsibility. Everybody has a charge to keep. And everyone is just as important for the work of the ministry. We have a charge to keep. And let's do what God has called us to do.